agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Brazilian economists today reduced their outlook for the country's economic growth for this year as well as next year. The 100 respondents in the survey cut their outlook for 2014 growth to 1.91% in Brazil. That's a reduction from 2%, and for the year 2015 to 2.2% from 2.5%. Caterpillar's fourth quarter net income rose compared with the results weighed down by a large impairment charge a year ago. For the period ending December 31st, Caterpillar earned $1 billion, or $1.54 a share. That compares with $697 million, or $1.04 per share a year earlier. The prior year period included an impairment charge of 87 cents per share. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 119,888 metric tons of corn to unknown destinations during the 13 and 14 marketing year. Also headed out the door this morning, 183,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations, and this during the 14 and 15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 15,872. It's up 56 points. The NASDAQ, 35.37, is up 4.75. The S&P 500 is 17.89, and it is up 7.75 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Too much cold weather will continue across the Midwest over these next few days, driving energy markets higher and stressing people who have to work outside. Temperatures this afternoon are likely to be limited and below zero across the northern half of the Midwest, with other areas seeing single digits and teens across a big part of the region. It will be a very nippy day, and tomorrow will not be a whole lot better. We'll expect to see some warming take place in the latter part of this week, with temperatures probably getting up into some 20s and 30s across the southern parts of the Midwest, while some positive negative single-digit readings will occur in the upper Midwest. We'll expect to see some increase in storminess to occur across the Midwest. As we move on into next week, we'll see the temperatures somewhat mild for a while as we go through the weekend and into early next week, and that milder temperature bias will likely help to support a greater influx of moisture into the atmosphere, setting the stage for the next more significant storm system, which may occur in the middle part of next week. The storm systems that are expected in this coming 4 or 5 days will probably not be all that impressive, but we will see our share of a little bit of precipitation across the region. The first disturbance is what's left of the blizzard that occurred last night in the upper Midwest. Wind speeds gusted to 70 miles per hour across the Dakotas, and many areas in the upper Midwest saw 50 and 60 mile an hour winds. And some considerable snow and blowing snow occurred in many areas. Snow occurred frequently over the weekend from North Dakota into parts of Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Some of the accumulations were very impressive in western Michigan due to lake effect accumulations. And as we go forward through the week, we're probably going to see a lot less precipitation for a little while. The next disturbance that impacts the region will be a minor one that will impact the southeast corner of the country, not in the Midwest at all. We'll look for a little disturbance in the heart of the Midwest, perhaps as we go from Thursday into Friday. That system will only produce a dusting of light snow and perhaps a little wintry mix in the lower parts of the Midwest. Moisture totals will certainly not be very significant. A larger storm system is expected to evolve next week, but I do think the models are having a real tough time deciding on what the best timing of this event would be. I would suggest that probably midweek would be the best time period, but we'll see what happens when we get closer to the event. It will be a significant rain and snow producing event, with a lot of cold air still in Canada and some warmer conditions in the Gulf Coast states and southern plains. That sets the stage for a more aggressive storm system as we move into that period of time. Well, we'll expect to see low temperatures overnight tonight to drop back below zero across most of the northern parts of the Midwest. In fact, it'll probably reach all the way down into northern Missouri, central Illinois, southern Indiana, and probably southern portions of Ohio, maybe northern portions of Kentucky. The cold will probably not cause any real serious concerns for winter wheat, but there are some snow-free areas in the southwestern part of the Corn Belt that need to be closely monitored. This would include portions of Missouri and maybe southern Illinois, as well as Nebraska and Kansas, where we've seen frequent bouts of at least threatening conditions over the last few weeks. Florida citrus areas are not vulnerable to any kind of crop-damaging cold over the coming week, even though we will have bitter cold conditions in the Midwest. The cold just doesn't reach far enough to the south. And in the far western United States, it looks like there will be no opportunity for a real dramatic increase in precipitation for California or the Pacific Northwest, but there will be at least a little bit of increase in precipitation from a couple of minor storm systems, far from what that region is going to need. And down in South America, it looks like interior portions of southern and eastern Brazil will see net drying conditions this week. We'll likely see net drying in southwestern portions of Argentina as well, while frequent showers and thunderstorms occur from Uruguay into the northwest corner of Argentina, and temperatures should be mostly seasonable in both countries. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And along with our great panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain markets, we'll hear Sue Martin's agricultural outlook. Murray Wise will give us the lowdown on land values in 2014. And we'll get everyone up to speed on the commodity title of the new Farm Bill. The cost is $30 and includes a continental breakfast, Beef House lunch, and 25th anniversary commemorative hat. Guarantee your spot. Register now at 217-333-7300 with your major credit card and we'll mail your tickets. That's 217-333-7300. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red May wheat, 6.30 1/4 up 5. Soft May, 5.76 3/4 up 5 1/4. March corn, 4.30 3/4 up 1 1/4. July, 4.42 1/2 up 1. December, 4.51 1/4 up 1 3/4. March soybeans, 12.90 1/2 up 5 3/4, now 6. July, 12.59 1/4 up 1 1/2. November, 11.09 3/4 up 1/2. March soybean meal, 4.30 60 up 4.90. March soybean oil, 37.27, and it's down 27. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. Are you finding a warm spot this morning?
Oh, it was cold going in this morning, and there was a little wind. That didn't help anything either.
No, very cold, and going to continue to keep grain transportation very slow here to start the week. Producers just not a lot of interest, obviously, in getting out and trying to move stuff here this morning. So helping things firm up a little bit here. The river situation still going to be a little dicey here early this week as cold temperatures obviously aren't very conducive to moving barges with some of the ice issues already. So going to be probably a slow week in terms of much moving out in the country, Dave.
Yeah, we did have a little bit of an export sale for corn and soybeans this morning, probably providing some underlying support.
Yeah, and we did see a reversal of the upside there late last week there on Friday on March beans. Down against that 1262, 1263 support, was able to bounce out of that. So some technical considerations here again this morning after that firm close there late last week. And, yeah, a couple cargoes of corn to unknown, sold a little beans for next year. So that's also offering a little support here this morning, Dave.
We did see a bullish inverse in the old crop spreads. Is that going to change this week?
Well, I think it's going to be somewhat quiet. You know, bean spreads are still somewhat range-bound here with the fear of Chinese cancellations kind of hanging over the head of spreads here. You look at corn, it's firmed up a little bit here after getting out to that 8, 9-cent area on the March-May. Got into, you know, 6, kind of hanging around that area now. Just not much movement going on. We'll be interesting to see if we can get back into that 435, 440 area on March corn, see if the producer decides to let go of some supplies once again, kind of like they did after that crop report back in mid-January.
Meanwhile, wheat continues to be a dog for the U.S., so a lot of wheat went out to Saudi Arabia, 715,000 metric tons. The U.S. got none of it, practically.
Yeah, so that's still some concern here. We have been cheaping it up, getting a little more competitive on the world market. I think we're seeing a little bounce today just with the cold temperatures. Once again, like Drew mentioned, some concern here with some winter kill, so that's getting a little support. But we really need to start seeing some interest pick up here on the export side because prices have sure dropped trying to look for some of that interest, Dave.
Thank you much, Aaron.
Have a good day. Bye.
Aaron Curtis of Midco in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Tickets for the March 4th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting are on sale right now. They're just $30. You'll hear from Sue Martin, get the latest on marketing corn, soybeans, and farmland values as well. And what you need to know on the Farm Bill, call at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. With your major credit card to reserve your seats for the March 4th event. March corn, 430 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. December, 451 and a half, up 2. March beans, 1291 and three quarters, up 7. November, 1109 and three quarters, up 1/2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.